Welcome to Housing Developments.
I'm Jim Tobin.
And I'm Paul Lopez.
Paul, how you doing?
I'm doing well. First podcast of April.
Yeah. Sorry to our faithful listeners for the delay in getting us on the road. I've been out on travel, a little bit of spring break with my family. So now we're fully back. Actually, I'm sitting here in Austin, Texas, getting ready to speak with the Texas Association of Builders this afternoon, and then actually taking the road show to North Carolina. Lake Coast will be joining me down there as well to visit with our HBAs in Fayetteville and then Durham and Chatham County. So back at it.
So it's funny that you mentioned Lake Coulson. He just happens to be here as our guest this week.
Thank you for the invite.
Hello.
Yeah.
So Lake, I mean, let's talk a little bit about, you've been a fairly busy man. NHB has been a very busy organization. We're now starting to see Congress back in session.
Yes.
So after a little bit of a hiatus there, we're kind of ramping back up. So the past few weeks, though, have been fairly intense. So give us a little bit of some of the stuff that you've been working on.
Well, yeah, thanks, Paul. You're right. Congress is back, effectively beginning this evening for a couple of weeks, and a few big wins for NEHB. You pointed out Job Corps. Last July, if you had to tell me that we would be able to secure the full $1.76 billion that we were searching for, I would have said it would have been very difficult to get that. But we worked very hard over the course of the summer and even into this year, working with the congressional leadership, working to make sure that funding was there, and our Home Builders Institute reaps the benefit, and workforce development, big win for the association.
No, congratulations.
Hey, Lake, take a couple of minutes. So, you know, we when we do these recaps, and you know, you'll be before the board, in a couple of weeks, or certainly when we get to the spring leadership meeting, and a lot of our listeners don't necessarily know how does a sausage get made, right? If we can borrow a line from Hamilton, but tell us, you get touched on how we talk to the leadership, and yeah, that sounds great, and we know how great the team is, and all the relationships pay off, but. But tell us about, you know, that the moment where, you know, the GOP House completely zeroes out Job Corps funding, $1.7 billion. That's like you said back in over the summer. And give us a couple of the main touch points where the staff engaged, but our members engaged, and where HBI engaged. I think people understand this has been an 8 or 9 month process and campaign. I mean, really a campaign. I think our listeners would enjoy. Kind of give the highs and lows. Where you thought we were going to lose it all? What do you think turned it?
Sure, Jim. Look, the very beginning of this was that markup in July of 23 when we learned that Job Corps was zeroed out. It was the funding for Job Corps was eliminated. We immediately brought the Home Builders Institute Board of Trustees in town. We had a legislative conference to bring those members into town to go to Capitol Hill to talk about the benefits of Job Corps, to talk about the benefit of the need for workers into the construction industry. That was, I think, a pivotal time. I think there were a number of meetings where the CEO of the Home Builders Institute, Ed Brady, and I went up to visit with the majority whip and the majority leader. And we made the case for Job Corps and workforce funding. And I think of those two, and of course the legislative conference, even before we learned that this was about to be eliminated, or at least the funding. I look at the LegCon, I look at the time that we actually met with the chairman Adderholtz of Alabama, with our chair Alicia Huey. I look at the legislative fly-in that we conducted with the Home Builders Institute, and I look to a couple of those key meetings that we had with congressional leadership where we demonstrated the need for Job Corps.
And do you think Do you think they got it the first go around, or did you have to go through several rounds? Because it seemed like a slam dunk, but it seemed every time you came back, it's like, yeah, they'd tell you that they get it, but the voting was a little bit, you know, still askew, shall we say.
I you're right, Paul. I think there were a couple of times where it took us to demonstrate to the leadership how serious we were, yeah, that this was a priority.
Right.
And we used the threat of a key vote,
right,
which is what we use when we make decisions on which candidates to support with BillPAC contributions, for them to realize how serious we were about Job Corps and how critical the work NAHB takes workforce development.
That's right.
Jim, were you going to say something?
Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, like one of the other things, you know, you identified with, along with Ed and the whole HBI team, and they were, I want to give a shout to Ed. I mean, they were incredible. I mean, obviously, you're talking about a meat and potatoes program for the Home Builders Institute. It was critical, but they were great partners, getting you the information on all the different schools and Job Corps sites where HBI has curriculum, but. You talk about a little bit of the grassroots side of this too, right? It's one thing for you. Like I said, what did you do out in the hinterlands? How did you engage our membership? You know, talk about Alicia and Bob Adderholt, but talk about some of those Job Corps centers and any particular members of Congress you hit, you know, to just reinforce that this is a really good program. It is critical for a really important industry.
Jim, I think we focused our efforts on any place where we had a Job Corps training center in a district that featured a member of Congress on the Appropriations Committee, where we had a member of Congress on the Ed and Workforce Committee. Those were the top two priorities. Members of Congress, such as Lori Chavez-DeRemer, an Oregon member, serves on the Education and Workforce Committee. She was one of the leaders behind restoring full funding for Job Corps. Mark Amadei was an appropriator. We worked with Greg Peake to and the Nevada Association to make sure that the Congressman Amadei was involved in securing, a big supporter of Job Corps. I look at Ryan Zinke, a member of Congress from Montana, and working with Eigen Graf to as an appropriator, somebody who could work to restore full funding. I look to Sanford Bishop, a congressman from South Georgia, who originally led the effort, worked with members like Jerry Conter to make Job Corps a priority, and the grassroots and grass tops efforts here were critical in getting members of Congress involved.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. As you're talking, it's amazing to me that, you know, the balance between, yes, the members of Congress, but also our rank and file members, yeah, across the country, yep, who made this happen. I mean, you couldn't do this solely in Washington. You have to get everybody involved across the country, and that's how these numbers really take effect in terms of our strength.
Yeah, no, it's been a winning formula for NHB for years, but it's just nice to see it, you know, all come together, because as great as our relationships are in Washington, D.C., it's our members back in the districts who actually know these members back home. They're voters. We know all this. They're the ones swinging the hammers. They're the ones supplying the building materials. They're the ones who are, you know, lumber yards and the banks, right? I mean, those are the real people in congressional districts.
That's right.
But yeah, Lake, thanks for walking through that. I think it's just a great association-wide effort, you know, from staff to the membership, to our EOs, our government affairs professionals at the state and local association. I mean, everybody just, you know, my old adage, grab an oar and row in the right direction. This is a great win. Congrats to you and the whole team.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again. I'd be remiss if I didn't also call out Justin Wood, who worked, our state and local chair, who has that voice directly into Lori Chavez-DeRemer. Was a huge help. And some of these members made it clear, Jim, to leadership that they would not vote for the bill if Job Corps was not fully restored. So we had that working for us, and we were able to get the money fully restored in the final appropriations bill.
Very nice. Yeah.
Definitely a full flex. It was great luck.
That's right. But speaking, let's talk about another flex that you made recently, right? And that's Transformers. Yeah. I mean, we've been chiming about this, and I know Jim's been talking about it across the country in terms of the need and just the lack of supply there.
Right.
Big win for us, right?
Big win. Thank you, Paul. And, you know, the Transformer, not so much a legislative issue, but what a regulatory.
Right.
We did feature this, however, during last year's legislative conference. So it does feel really good to have two of the three things that we lobbied on addressed somewhat here. The Department of Energy last Thursday issued a final regulation on distribution transformers. And we had been talking about how this was going to exacerbate the supply chain shortage on transformers. And this regulation virtually leaves the single phase, the essentially, for, not to get too technical, but the 30 to 75 kVA used in the residential marketplace untouched.
Right.
The same steel component that was used before would still be allowed to be used in this new, when this regulation. We got a delay in the rule, in the effective date from 3 to 5 years. So it was a huge win for NAHB that we had gone to the department. We told them, you know, look at what this is going to do to housing affordability. Look at what this is going to do to the cost for construction. And we had examples, guys, of developments around the country. And I know I hear a lot about them in Texas. I've heard some in California where the developments had been built, but there was lacking a transformer to turn the lights on.
Right.
So as crazy as that sounds, this should seemingly kind of help in the process. But now we need the administration to turn its attention to increasing the supply. Now that we fixed the regulatory part of this, now we need to you know, find a way to increase the supply of transformers.
That's right, because the ROI that we were looking at was almost nothing, right? Big downside, very little upside for anybody who looked at the actual issue saw no sense in it whatsoever.
Right.
So I know this was a big thing for you, Jim, as you went across the country, and I know, Blake, you've been working hard. But so let me ask you, just great wins. That's fantastic. Great exciting moment when the president in his State of the Union mentioned housing so, you know, predominantly. What's next? We're about to enter LegCon. We can talk a little bit about that. Registration's open for the spring leadership meeting, and that includes our LegCon event. What's and I'm asking both of you this because I think both of you have different, you know, perspectives. What are we going to be tackling next, and what are we facing next?
Well, Paul, great lead-in for the June 12th legislative conference. We need you all here to carry on and visit Capitol Hill. There's nothing more important, I believe, than having our members visit Capitol Hill and talk to their members of Congress about how we address housing affordability. How do we increase the supply of desperately needed housing? Right now, there's three themes for this legislative conference. The first is, you know, what's the next step on transformers? How do we increase the supply? Number two, the workforce development issue. You know, we got the full funding for Job Corps, but that doesn't mean there's not going to be another attack underway. Mm. To remember, the funding only gets us through September 30th of 2020 of this year. So we need to continue to fight for that and make sure that Job Corps is fully funded. And workforce development, you know, there is legislation that calls for, you know, a longer term reauthorization of like things like the Perkins Act and making sure that Job Corps is fully funded. The third issue that we'll feature in this conference is our continuing battle on energy codes. Mm. And what does an agency's issuing a final rule to implement the 2021 International Energy Conservation Code mean to the builder? Well, if you talk to the Kansas City builders, they found out that there would be a 31,000 increase in the cost for housing construction were they to be forced to implement the 2021 IECC.
$31,000 per unit?
Per unit.
Wow. Okay.
So it's a huge cost increase, and we want to make the agencies that are putting this rule in place aware of the fact that it's going to be expensive on the builders. Again, housing affordability, the theme that I started with here. So those are going to be the three themes, and I really look forward to having you here in Washington.
I'll be here. Oh, no, I think you may be a listener. No, I'm sorry. Jim, I mean, what are you hearing as you travel across the country? What are the members, when they call you up to tell you what's going on, what are you hearing?
Yeah, I think, and it goes along with what Lake's talking about. You know, we're in this pivot point, I think, in the economy, and certainly in the housing economy, in that you've got a lot of people, including the president, talking about housing, but not just housing, about supply, not just the cost, but about the way to bring that cost down is through supply. And there's only one group of people that's going to do that. And, you know, for those, you know, who you hear me talk about this all the time, right? NHB is the greatest collection of craftsmen and craftswomen dedicated to building the American dream, right? And, you know, our members are going to be the ones that build 80% of the housing in this country year after year. And if with interest rates, you know, all of a sudden there's new talk about the Fed not lowering rates three times this year. Dr. Robert Dietz is still talking. You know, he still thinks it's two, but man, that's even starting to look a little shaky, right? So, yep. So you know, from a legislative perspective, you know, Lake and I, you know, talked about this. You know, talking about that these members who are coming into Washington, D.C. in June, that they see back home in their districts, they're the ones that are going to build this new supply, whether it's apartments or whether it's for ownership. But, you know, now is the time to, you know, follow the president's lead. Maybe you don't agree with all of his policy proposals, but we need to get our members of Congress talking more about the housing solutions. And we all know the solution is supply. So what can we do to not layer on regulations, right? Lake just talked about that transformer regulation coming out on the right side of the ledger, you know, getting Job Corps, making sure we're getting the workforce we need. But it's also about that if we are going to solve the housing affordability crisis in this country, it's only going to be the members of the National Association that are going to do that. And we need, everybody needs to help us accomplish that goal, because we can, which means lowering land prices, lowering regulatory burdens, land use restrictions at the local level. If everybody starts talking about these things, we can make some real headway.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And if there's a theme, I think, that I'm hearing from everybody is we can't rest on our laurels. There's still stuff to be done. And it's great that, you know, everyone's talking about housing, but that has to continue. And NHB is pushing that message between now and the election and beyond to make sure that housing stays on the top of everyone's minds. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Excellent. Is this your first time on the podcast?
It is.
Oh, wow.
Well, welcome.
Welcome. Yeah, we got
thank you.
We'll review the tape, and we'll determine whether or not you get to come back. But
great.
And again, a plug for the spring leadership meeting, June 12th, right, Lake, is our legislative conference day. You know, it's a compressed meeting schedule, you know, to accommodate people getting home as soon as we can on Friday. So check the website in particular for the lineup of committees. There's no subcommittee meetings. It's spring leadership meeting this year. Just as a reminder, those will be held virtually in the weeks leading up to it. But, you know, we hope to see you all in Washington, D.C. in June. We've got a virtual board meeting next week. So look forward to see all the board members virtually in a week. And Paul, anything with Builder Books came out with our latest edition?
Yeah, I think this is a good time for plug. I mean, we're talking about affordability, and I think a lot of what's happening is that we're seeing shifts of what buyers are looking for and want to try and adapt to that affordability problem that we're seeing. So Builder Books just issued their What Home Buyers Really Want edition 2024. I think that's something that's very popular for good reason. So again, go to nhb.org, look it up, What Home Buyers Really Want. And check it out. I think it's a valuable tool for many of our members and for builders at large.
Big shout out to our sponsor, LG Pro Builder, right? There's tagline, yep. Let's build the good life together.
All right, my man.
It's good to see y'all. Until next time, I'm Jim Tobin.
And I'm Paul Lopez.
See you.
Take care.